Morning, welcome to Canine Nose Time. I'm talking with Danielle, and we're talking today about skills that you need to develop or need to have in your dog and in your team to participate with trials. And we thought we would just go through a few of those in particular regard to ORTs and novice elements with ANKC. Hi, Danielle.
Hello. I thought I had sufficiently tired out the puppy, but she's always like, no.
You do sound a little further away than you did before.
Okay, but let's go. Skills that you need to do an ORT.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good place to start is the car park. And for ORTs, they are hosted by ACSW trial hosts, of which Canine Nose Time is one of those. I think one of the most important things is be aware of the venue that you're trialing with. So, mm-hmm. And that is, I guess, comparing in Australia, we currently have ACSW and ANKC. And yep. Their car parks even vary a little bit. So I think it's good just to be aware of what skills or what, you need to be aware of in the car park when you trial with a different venue.
Yep, absolutely.
So for ACSW, let's start with an ORT. I think it depends if the host is running three ORTs in a row or if, like Canine Nose Time we've started to do just single element ORTs, which might be at the moment it's on like a Wednesday night and you just come and compete and there's 30 sort of teams in the car park and it runs for about 2 hours and that's about it. But even though just 2 hours, that still can be a long time for dogs to rest in the car. So I think that was at the top of my list. Is that dogs are able to rest in the car for a certain period of time and to know what your dog's limits are for that.
Yep, absolutely. And it's something that I think it's important to build up in your dog, because if you do want to trial an ACSW down the line, they need to be comfortable basically resting in the car for a lot of the day. So, practicing in these tiny little single odor ORTs is a good starting point, I think.
I think so too, because I mean nose work one and nose work two trials do go, they're a big day.
Yep.
And your dog has to be able to rest comfortably in the car between searching. And the other thing to note about ACSW hosted events is that because they allow reactive dogs to come, the car park is also very it's almost like a sacred space for dogs to be able to get safely to start lines and to be able to be taken out to the bathroom. And while most venues have reactive dog parking with ACSW, it's not always guaranteed. So the general rule in the car park across the board for every dog is that your dogs just can't actually be hanging out in the car park.
And I think a really good way to frame that is that if the dog is out of the car, your focus needs to be 100% on the dog. So,
absolutely.
If you're talking to someone, having a chat, your dog should be in the car.
Yes.
It should be basically toileting and then moving to and from the start area.
Yeah, and I think adding to that, we've just had Leah Gengelhoff out here for the ACSW hosted Leah Gengelhoff for like a long weekend. And one of the things she brought up, which I thought was really interesting and definitely applies to ACSW run trials, is how important it is for dogs not to have that sort of when they're searching or when they're coming up to search, not to have that sort of focus on other dogs.
Absolutely.
Because it really does take away from their searching experience. And the way that she framed it was saying that dogs are either resource guarders or they're not. And if they're not, they're always on the lookout for dogs that are. And I know that's sort of a generalization, but I thought it was a really good It gave me a better understanding of what the dogs are going through when they're searching. They're looking for, you know, what could be a resource, or they're getting a resource. Yeah. And all of that whole picture starts in the car park. And I was reading an article yesterday, actually, about turtles. And how far away dogs are when they catch that first scent. And they were talking about like 50 or 60 meters. Yeah. And it just made me think, you know, that the dogs definitely know why they're there in the car park. You know, there's much more to this than just a start line.
Yep. And yeah. I also think it's all contributing to the picture you want when you get to the start line is a focused dog whose mind is clear, who knows what they're doing, and is in a really good mental state to do the searching. You know, if they're eyeballing other dogs, if they're wanting to play with other dogs, all of that is going to, you know, take away their ability to focus right at that point on the start line. So I want get out of the car, go to my waiting area. At that point, I do a lot of like getting my dog to breathe, focus on me. And then as we move through to the start line, I just want it to be cool, calm, ready to go. My dog knows exactly what to do.
Exactly. And in ORTs, that's a good point as well, is that not just being able to rest in the car, but being able to rest at the on-deck areas.
Yep.
Because particularly for ORTs or container elements, sometimes there can be a little bit of, you know, they need to straighten up the boxes or they need to replace boxes. And you might actually be in those at those stations for a few minutes.
Yep.
So I think that's important as well, that your dog can rest comfortably with you just sitting in a chair waiting.
Yep.
And it's a good sort of skill to develop over time and over your trialing career. So I think that's pretty good for working up for ORTs.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the car park at ANKC, which I think is a different experience and maybe not for reactive dogs or
No, I wouldn't advise. It depends on your dog and what they can cope with. But in general, at ANKC trials, there isn't any requirement to keep your dog in a car before or after their search. I mean, it might be advisable to keep your dog settled and focused, to have them resting in a safe spot. But in general, there's a lot more activity and dogs out of cars as you move around that area. So,
and there's no real distance, recommended distance, is there?
No. So I think it's just a different picture for the dogs.
I have students that have reactive dogs that do trial quite successfully with ANKC.
Yep.
So it's not to say that you can't do it. It's just I think it's sort of like reactive dogs trialing with ACSW. It's definitely a privilege, not a right. I own a reactive dog, and I'm very aware that I'm very lucky to trial with ACSW and have a game to play with him.
100%.
I think that needs to be taken over to ANKC too. If you are lucky enough to have a dog that can cope in that environment, it's definitely a privilege to be able to take them to trial.
Absolutely. The one thing I would say that I would hope all people can do at whatever the venue, ANKC, ACSW, is, you know, if your dog is out of the car at any point, watch what your dog is watching. Because I often see dogs giving a lot of stares, and the owners are oblivious to that stare. But that little stare that your dog could be doing could actually be putting another dog way off. And I think it's just really important to look at what your dog's focusing on, not just because of their own mental state, but also because of the impact it could be having on another team.
That is 100%. It's such an underrated, like, people just don't realize And I learned that the hard way, and I could go off on another massive tangent, but I won't. But one stare down from another dog, like Ranger's never been, my dog Ranger, he's reactive. He's never been attacked by another dog or had but one stare down from another border collie was really what set our training back like years.
Exactly, yeah.
And I didn't realize just how, how much that I saw the effects pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely something we don't think about, or a lot of people don't think about when they have their dogs out.
Yeah.
And then a border collie, Sarah, is pretty powerful.
it's huge, and it's such a trigger for any sensitive dog. That border collie stare freaks a lot of dogs out.
Yeah.
But I just want to also say that I don't think there's anything wrong with ANKC having a different atmosphere. Indeed, I have enjoyed a sort of more friendly social atmosphere with my puppy Nettle at ANKC trials so far. I mean, it is nice for her to meet a couple of her friends and just have that experience as well. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I participate in ANKC with my other dog, Syrah. And we've had a really good experience trialing just at novice level with ANKC. I think it's just as long as people are aware of it, and that's what we're trying to do here by talking about it. So I guess other skills, anything else for the car park?
I think as well, one other thing is, which we were talking about in class this week, is if you have an overly enthusiastic dog, you might want to consider your strategies for moving that dog through space. I mean, Nettle is at a point where I get her out of the car, she knows we're searching, so she's going to drag me to a search area. But because she's only 10 kilos, it's quite easy to manage. If you have a bigger dog who's really keen to get going, you might need to spend some time training a particular way that you want to move your dog through that space. So it might be a little bit of a heel, it might be a food lure, it might be something that just keeps your dog from getting too kind of over aroused as they move through the space.
Yeah, that's a good point. And always making sure that you've got your dog under control. And if you are with ACSW, training with ACSW at ORTs or any level, and you have a reactive dog, I think it's a really good idea to get someone to help you navigate to start lines and even pee breaks or whatever, because there are always going to be people out there that are not doing the right thing.
Yep.
And it just gives you that extra little bit of, it makes you relax a little bit as well. If you've got, because I know as a reactive dog owner, I have eyes in the back of my head. Like, I can clock a dog at 100 meters. Like it's, and it does, you don't realize just how, permanently on you are.
Yeah.
I think that's a good strategy, especially if you have a reactive dog. All right. Well, what other skills do we need at ORTs and sort of novice elements?
So one thing I thought was important is that your dog is comfortable with complete strangers in the search area. Because that may not be something at that level that they've had a lot of experience in. So just something to consider. Are they okay with a very strange person they have no idea, they've never met? The judge, stewards, etc., standing around staring at them, is your dog comfortable with that?
Yeah, and adding on to that, with people that wear hats or dark glasses, or in particular, and this is one I've noticed quite a lot, is volunteers with ACSW anyway, is volunteers, we have a volunteer that does the videography.
Yep.
And often they have the video, and it's usually a big, round circle iPad type thing. They have it up above their, like covering their face.
Yep.
And for nervous or reactive dogs, that can be a real, or just any dog actually, that can be a real sort of different picture for them. And I've seen a lot of dogs bark or react or get a fright from the videographer because their face is covered. It's not necessarily the video, the thing they're holding, that is the, you know, that they object to. I think often it's the fact that they can't see the person's face. So I think making sure that your dog has, and if, you know, if I'm the host or the CEO or judge or whatever, I'll always say, make sure you're holding the video down so that the dog can see your face. But, you know, not everybody, I think that's something that you have to be aware of, that and that you've had experience searching in that environment before you go to a trial. You know, just, and also silence, I think that can often be a strange experience, walking into something that's very silent and
absolutely, especially like daunting. Very, very cute dogs who are used to people giving them lots of attention, right? They may walk in and go, hang on, why is no one giving me my attention? And it can just weird them out, right?
Yeah. I think sometimes they need that pause at the beginning, once again, depending on the dog, but just to look around the room, take everything in, you know, get a little bit acclimatized to the environment.
Yes. And again, like, this is all stuff that's just good to consider when you're starting out, because, you know, you don't want to create yucky feelings. In a trial setting, you know, so you want to kind of be prepared for it, have a plan if it happens. Hopefully your dog won't have these responses, but if they are likely to, you definitely want to have practice with some sort of setup beforehand so that they're used to the picture.
Yeah. And even if it's just like a practice day or a training day, I know I usually do a training day before we do an ORT or an element trial, just so people have a little bit of that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the same, you know, we get everyone to stand around and sort of frown. Not that, you know, nobody frowns in a trial, but you know what I mean? Just to give you that little bit of extra pressure as the handler as well.
Yep, definitely. And you'll be surprised as well how much with just a few repetitions and a little bit of experience, your dogs just learn, okay, trial setting means lots of weird people standing around and I can just ignore them.
Yeah. And for ORTs, I mean, part of the reason they run so smoothly is because we've got someone that handles the cold boxes, which are the boxes without odor. There's someone that the only person in the room that's allowed to touch the odor box. We've got a judge's scribe, a videographer, and a timer. So, I mean, all these people add up, but they all have a very important role to play on the day. I think it is definitely something, you know, you got six extra people sitting in the room that you probably weren't expecting. I think let's talk about novice elements with ANKC quickly. And I guess because I started out my trialing with ACSW years ago, it's always been very, you know, you get to the waiting area, someone will call you to move on to the next one, you know, that there's a lot of people making sure you know what you're doing and you're in the right spot. I think sometimes with ANKC it's up to you to make sure you're in the right spot. So they have like number flippy overboards, and when your number comes up, you've got to, you know, magically appear. And there's briefings that if you miss it, too bad. You know, it's sort of a little bit more, you have to be more proactive in getting yourself to the search area. So I think that's important to note as well. And then once you're there, it's a little bit more relaxed. When you're on deck, someone will walk around a corner and you're like, oh, hi. and, you know, move your dog away or, you know, whatever, to get to the search area. And there's not as many people in the search area for ANKC. So there's usually maybe three people. I think there's a timer, a judge, and a scribe, or I'm not sure, a steward? I'm not sure what the...
Hide steward, maybe?
Oh, that, yeah, maybe that's it. But yeah, not quite as many people observing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess in relation to, because these are all environmental things that we've been talking about.
Mm.
That's the other thing I wanted to say was in ACSW, once you passed, if it's an ORT, you might get a certificate, or if you've got all three, you might get a ribbon, and they'll get handed to you at the end of your ORT. Well, that's how our Canine Nose Time runs their ORTs. But if you've got a reactive dog or something, someone can always take it over to you or give it to you later.
Yep.
With ANKC, you get handed your ribbon immediately.
Yep.
And that sort of isn't taken into account whether you're, because they, I guess, take for granted that your dog is not reactive.
Yep.
But yeah, that's just something to be aware of. Sometimes dogs, you know, when people are handing things to their, you just have to make sure your dog's okay with that.
Yep.
And yeah, so I guess that's all environment
yep.
things that we've spoken about. In regards to actual searching, we haven't even touched on searching yet.
No.
I guess that's really, it's interesting though that there is all of those things behind the scene that you want to have had experience with and can come as a surprise to some.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about setting you and your dog up for success, right? So all of that stuff, you want all of that to be not a worry so that when you do get to the searching part, you know, you're not having to worry about all that other stuff.
Yeah, because we work so much on the searching skills that sometimes forget that the environment makes up so much a part of that.
Yep.
So I think in regards to searching skills, which is also environment, is making it sure that your dog has had the experience searching in a number of different locations, not just in your regular class.
Yep. And so with ORTs as well, I think that's a really kind of easy training scenario for you because you've got your boxes, they're always very similar boxes, and that's something you can just chuck in your car and go out and practice in a bunch of different locations.
Yes, but do people do that?
I don't know, do they?
I don't know either. But you want those containers, you know, those 12 boxes to be such a cue for your dog that the environment sort of melts into the background.
Yep.
So I do think that is very important. And I know I've seen it, you know, students that have come to trial and you know that they can do it in class and their dog's comfortable in a class. But they come to a different environment and the dog doesn't take one look at the boxes.
Yep.
So I think it is really important to generalize that skill, that those 12 boxes need to mean something to a dog.
And you know what? It's fine if you are lazy and just go out and take 6 boxes. Okay, just take out some boxes.
Yes, absolutely.
And just get the picture out there for you and your dog in different locations.
100%. Because weird things happen in ORTs.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh, you can never be too, don't be too confident with an ORT.
No, ORTs terrify me, to be honest. They're so deceptively simple.
Absolutely. Like they're so straightforward that they mess with you.
Yep.
They mess with your mind. But practice in many locations. I think that, and make sure, I mean, I think this is an ideal skill. It's not something you definitely need, but that your dog does have the skill of searching boxes in a straight line.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a lot easier for you as a handler, can I just say, rather than having to do some sort of complicated memory task of remembering the boxes your dog has missed as they move crazily through the area.
Yeah. And I think that really should be part of teams' foundation skills, yep. is to be able to check a line of boxes.
Yep.
And, oh, just also, just to be aware that ORTs can be in one straight line,
mm-hmm.
Which I only found out recently.
As opposed to two lines.
Yeah, they can be in a single line of 12. It still has to be 12 boxes.
Yep.
I don't think many venues would permit, like, have the room for that.
Yeah.
But just throwing it out there, it could happen. And they can be outside as well. Outside ORTs. I actually thought that'd be much more of a challenge, but we had an ORT recently. I think it was this year. Three ORTs. It was a really hot day. And two of the searches were outside, and it worked really well.
Yeah. Nettles ORTs were all outside down at Ferry Meadow.
Oh, they were too. That was Buddy's last clove he got.
Yeah. And most dogs were successful, I think. I think that was a really good little ORT.
Yeah. It was a high pass rate. I remember that one because the hide for the clove was in the last box on the left.
Yeah.
And I remember Buddy and Nettle were within a hundredth of a second of each other.
Yeah, I think they basically did the exact same thing.
Yeah. Can't half tell they trained together.
Yeah.
I think it was 8 seconds or something.
Yeah, it was, I think, 8 seconds.
Mm. No, that was good. It's so good to call it when you feel like it's right.
Yep.
Like, yeah, yep. That was good. I just remember him. He didn't look at me, he did nothing. He just dived to that box, did the seam, and I called it.
Yeah.
That's good. So I think that is important, is that your dogs can stick to a line of boxes. And I'm, as time goes on, I'm realizing that skill is really, really important.
Yep.
For when you move on to other, to higher levels as well.
Yep.
Part of the dog-driven search.
And one other thing I would say in ORTs is to trust your training and not ask for more than what you've trained for, if you know what I mean. So I think I sometimes see people kind of waiting for more from their dog than they usually get in training. And it's like, just trust the way your dog's been working in training. And I think that's, you don't want your dog to have an experience where you as a handler have kind of broken and you're not doing the things you normally do in training. That can be a bit aversive to dogs.
I have to, I really agree with that. And I am a fan of calling early, and I know it can bite you, but I just see so many times in ORTs that the dogs have alerted to the handler already, or, the dogs have given a really good indication of where the odor is through change of behavior, really analyzing the seams of the boxes, or, even sometimes giving a final response or alert to the handler, and they move on. And yes, like, you can see sort of in their mind, yes, I've clocked that box, I know where that is. But then they get something different at another box, a stronger behavior.
Mm.
And, then they call that box. Mm. And I think sometimes that can start. Yeah. Yeah, it can create
I understand in trials, right, as the handler, you want to be sure. You're like, I've driven all this way, I'm so funny, I want my ribbon, you want to be so sure. So sometimes you can just wait that extra second longer to have that certainty. But I think often that can be a bit of a mistake. If your dog is giving you a lot of stuff, just listen to your dog.
Yeah, it is hard, but I was saying this, I think it was on Thursday, I was talking to one of my classes, saying that You know, with ACSW trials, there's only three trials. There's only nose work or full day full trials I'm talking about. There's nose work one, nose work two, and nose work three that we currently have in Australia at the moment. If you pass them all first go, which look, that's great to pass them all first go. But you know, that's it.
But no, absolutely. I think the trials are like the way that the ACSW trial is it should just be a learning experience for you and your dog if you haven't got it the first time, right?
Yeah. And think about how much of a great experience it is to have a day out with your dog earning ribbons if you're placing or whatever it is. But once you pass that nose work too, unless you're entered as a for exhibition only, that's it, you're done.
When so Rory just recently passed nose work two on his second attempt, but actually, you know what? Him and I searched way better on his first attempt. I was so much more happier with a lot of the searches we did on that first nose work two attempt than the second one, where I was like a not great handler so much, even though we did get the passes. So I think that like that's what I remember, right? It's like it's actual searches and the time you spend with your dog. That's more important than just whether you get everything ticked off perfectly.
I think so too. And it's a real, I think it does encourage people as well to really make sure you have trained above the level that you're trialing.
Yeah, definitely.
You, because it's expensive, because it's a full day, you really want to make sure you have the skills that we're talking about now. And I assume we're going to go on and talk about higher level skills in another podcast, but but you really want to make sure that you have all of those skills before you enter your dog into a trial. And just because you pass a nose work one doesn't mean you got a license to necessarily, you know, pass a nose work two. Or
and you know
if
what?
You pass nose work three.
Yeah, and I think it's the same with ANKC. Like I have five of Nettle's novice qualifications. She just needs one more. And like so there's at least one element I think that I could be entering her in advance, but I'm not in any rush. She's still a baby dog. She's still got heaps of skill building to do. And I'd just rather take time rather than rush it and put her in a situation that she's not fully prepared for.
Oh, that's so important. And even Leah said it on the weekend, it takes years to develop a mature nose work dog. These are skills that they build over years, not just by passing passing elements.
Yep.
And I mean, Asira is a very experienced nose work dog. She's been doing this for a long time, but we're ticking off every single novice search we can first.
Yep.
Just because it's ANKC, it's not a venue that I'm really familiar with. I want to make sure that she's got the skills to trial just in a different venue.
Yep.
We're going to go up to advanced after she passes the last everything that she can at novice.
Yep.
And have some fun with it.
Yep. And I think that should be what it's all about. This is like this game is fun, so you want to get all this stuff, you know, set up for success so that actually you and your dog can have fun.
Exactly. And, you know, there's always going to be things that happen and things that go wrong, but you want to make sure that your dogs have all of the skills that you are confident you've given your dog all the skills to be able to pass at that level before you enter it.
Yep.
And that nothing comes as a huge surprise. When you go into that element, you should be like, I've seen this before.
Yep.
In training or, you know, wherever. Anything else?
I feel like we've covered a lot of stuff.
I think we did too.
Oh, one other thing I will say. Don't be afraid to advocate for what your dog needs. Ask people for help if you need help. Ask people politely to move if you need things to move. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, we should all be there for each other. So if someone asks for help, give it to them and don't be afraid to ask for help.
100%. And even in trials, you know, if you miss your first element, and I know this can be really challenging for some people. If you miss your first element of the day, say in a full ACSW trial, you know, take the opportunity to use the rest of the day as a training exercise.
Yes.
And or just go out there, the pressure's off then, go out there yes. and have a really good time with your dog.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Cool. Okay.
Well,
Nettle is back and crazy, so let's leave it.
All right. Well, that was a really fun, thought-provoking conversation. Yes. I feel like we've covered everything. I'm sure I'll think of things later. Any closing comments?
No, I think we did really well. Hopefully everyone will listen to this and turn up at their ORTs well prepared.
Absolutely. There are a few more spots at the ORT, the Clove ORT on what's the date? 29th of November. It won't be going to ballot. So if we get more entries, I'll open it up for more people.
Cool.
It just means everyone might be there a little bit longer, but we just do what we can do.
And do you need any volunteers?
Oh, yeah. Actually, that would be fantastic. Yeah, we probably do need a few more volunteers. And so that will start at like 6 o'clock, and depending on how many teams we get, I think at the moment we've got 39. It should only go for, you know, 2 or 2.5 hours.
Yep.
The other trial that Canine Nose Time is hosting, however, will indeed be going to ballot. I am sorry to say. And I think most people sort of understand that now, and I've had a lot of offers if people don't get in that they are very happy to volunteer. So yep, I really appreciate that. And the reason it is going to ballot is just because of time constraints at the venue. So
yep.
We just can't run all day.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So what will be happening with that is that people will be given a time slot. And if they can't make that time slot, unfortunately, we'll just have to replace them with someone that can.
Yep.
Okay. Otherwise, thanks, Danielle. I'll get this up, and I hope everyone has a good week.